Gospel of John, chapter 1, reading from verse 1 to verse 18. The Gospel according to John, verses 1 through 18. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as did receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, This was he of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. This is the gospel of Christ. Here we are once again, Christmas time, Christmas carol service, and we get to sing, and I think it's always such a privilege, we get to sing these wonderful songs that have been written by great men and women of the faith. We hear these songs that many of us grew up with. My memories go back to little church by the river in Norfolk, and before then to attending one of the great medieval churches, the city of Norwich, and singing these same things, these same songs. Now everyone has a favourite Christmas carol, and they're all slightly different. Listening, singing along tonight, maybe yours was included, maybe it wasn't. But everyone has a favourite. And according to studies that have been done, the polls that have been done, probably the number one, certainly that it was the number one back in the day, was Hark the Herald Angels Sing. My mother, when she was at school, they used a little blue hymn book called Songs of Praise. Some of you may have experienced it yourself. Little blue cloth-bound book edited by a man called Percy Dearmer. And I remember Mum was very pleased when we went, moved out of Norwich into the country, and found that the local parish church used this same book. And the editor of that book notes that it is probably the most popular English hymn in the world. That was, of course, in the 1930s. And it's both the tune and the words. And if you look at who's behind the hymn, it's two of the greatest men of the 18th century, Charles Wesley and George Whitefield. Charles Wesley, the great poet of the revival. George Whitefield, the great preacher. Now, Charles Wesley didn't write Hark the Herald Angels Sing. He wrote Hark, How All the Welkin Rings, Glory to the King of Kings. But Mr. Whitefield gave it its modern form. And it's a marvellous hymn. When we come to the end of our service, we shall be singing it. And the words are so wonderful. And Mr. Wesley and Mr. Whitfield here are thinking on the message of the angels on that first Christmas morning, that first Christmas day. And the angel of the Lord said to them, Luke chapter 2, reading from verse 10, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." The message of the angels is a message about peace. And so it is that, picking up on this, Mr. Wesley puts it into rhyme: peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. The message that the angels brought, it is a message about a great event. It is a message about a great person. And thirdly, it is a message about a great blessing. First of all, it's a message about a great event. Christ is born in Bethlehem. The expectation of all the people was a Saviour to be delivered. On the throne in Jerusalem then there was King Herod, that man of whom, if we know anything about the Christmas story, we know that he was a cruel and a vicious man. We heard of how the wise men went to him, and Herod said, "Tell me where the child is that I may come and worship him." But of course, Herod's true plan was to kill him. Herod had a long reputation of killing people who he thought might challenge him for the throne, among whom was his own favourite wife and two of his own sons. He was a vicious, paranoid lunatic, basically. He was dangerous. And the people groaned under such a ruler. When the king is paranoid, when the king is seeing plots everywhere and killing his own children, who is safe? And so it was that the people groaned under Herod's oppression. And they were looking forward to the Christ, the Messiah, Emmanuel, to hearing the words fulfilled, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." And now the angels appear. Christ is born in Bethlehem. There is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour who is Christ the Lord. In history, God in history. Now, as any of you who know me know, my father is a historian. If you look up John Charmley, you'll find a list of his books. And so history is something I've grown up with and have a passion for. And history is something that Christmas is all about. It's about God at work in history. And here is the great event of history. Christ is born in Bethlehem, a great event. Secondly, a great person. Christ is born in Bethlehem. Christ, by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord. Now that was the great message of the Wesleys, the great message of the gospel. Christ is born, and that Christ is God with us, Jesus, our Emmanuel. That he is the eternal Son of God. He is God, the very greatest person there is. There is nobody greater than God who has made all things, the everlasting Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The mystery of it all. God manifested in the flesh. And he is God made man, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail the incarnate deity. God made man. The child in the manger was not a phantom, not an appearance, but a real child who was born of Mary in the same way that any child is born. A real infant who was tiny, weak and helpless, who grew like us, that God became a weak infant for us and for our salvation. Here is the greatest one, and he does not give up anything, but he takes to himself something that he was not before. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. There is John thinking of his own experience. How it was that he walked with this man on Galilee, by Galilee. He went to Jerusalem with him. He knew what it was to have fellowship with Christ. And we beheld his glory. Again, John thinks of that mountaintop where he climbed up with his brother, with Peter, and he saw Christ transfigured, the deity shining through. The incarnate deity pleased as man with men to dwell, Jesus, our Emmanuel. The true humanity of Christ is so vital. It's one of the reasons why the church has historically set apart one day in the year to especially remember this. We can remember it any day. We should remember it every day that God became man for us. But we remember it on a particular day so that we don't forget it ever. So that we come and we remember that all this is true. Have you ever had an experience where you think something has happened and then you think, well, did it happen or was it a dream? I had it the other day with an email that I got. Now, it was a real email, but I had that moment the other morning when I thought, did I really receive an email about Saturday's open air meeting or did I dream about it because I had it on my mind? Well, this is no dream. This is full factual reality. Christ is born in Bethlehem. We heard it in the readings. Quirinius is mentioned. King Herod is mentioned. These men who truly lived. And in that history, Christ came, this man who came for us and for our salvation. He took upon himself our human nature. He became man. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. How marvellous to see him veiled in flesh, that men did not see the glory, because they had not eyes to see, but those whose eyes were opened saw his glory. Fully man. I wonder what it was like to be in John's position. One of the disciples of Christ. We know that they very often didn't realize the fullness of the man they were with. But they did at last. He is the greatest of people and he has come to us. And he was born so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He was born to save his people from their sins. We heard that again in the words of Gabriel. He was born. So we come finally to the great blessing, born to raise the sons of earth. born to give them second birth. George Whitefield was famous for preaching the new birth. You must be born again. To the point that one day a man went to him and said to him, Mr. Whitefield, why are you always saying you must be born again? And Mr. Whitefield said, because you must be born again. That's why he was always saying it, because you must be born again. And Christ came so that his people, through faith in his name, might be born again. So that we might experience that new birth, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Born to give them second birth, he came that we might be born again, and so that we might be saved and brought to everlasting glory, so that we might dwell with him forever. Christ came for us, that we might know Christ in us. Hence those words of the hymn writer, come, desire of nations, come, fix in us thy humble home, that he might dwell in us, and we might know fellowship with him. Now display thy saving power, ruined nature now restore, now in mystic union join, thine to ours, and ours to thine. We see in Christ the God-man, who united his own person, God and man. And he was born that we, human beings, might be united to him. Many of the ancient writers put it this way. They said, the Son of God became man, that men and women might become sons of God. Not by nature as Christ is, but by that glorious adoption. And when an adoption is completed, no one can say nay to it. It is a fact, born of God. So Christ has come that we might have fellowship with God, that we might be united to him, now and forever. And we might know the life of God made manifest in our souls. So he came. So he came that we might know God. Because no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known. Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn King. Christ has come. And we celebrate this glorious fact tonight and rejoice that he has come. Do you know him? Do you know what it is to be united to him by faith? To be joined to Christ, to know that he is not merely a saviour, but your saviour. What a blessing it is to say, this saviour is mine. Oh, may we this Christmas time welcome the newborn King, the Prince of Peace, and know Christ born unto us on earth below. May God have mercy upon us and grant us the blessings of his advent and his incarnation. Amen.